Your martial arts movie podcast.
Ha ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
I've had a rough week, so I'm glad we chose a movie that was easy to understand. Maybe not the easiest to watch, but the easiest to understand.
When you take a step back after finishing the movie, it is incredibly easy to understand. It's got the simplest of plots, to the point where sometimes there's no dialogue.
Sometimes nothing's happening. What are we talking about, Zero?
Talking about The Foggy Mountain?
Yep, I think Foggy Mountain.
Foggy Mountain, a Vietnamese martial arts movie that is exclusively on Hiya, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Foggy Mountain, it sounds like... like one of the challenges that Scooby-Doo and the gang has to face. Like Scooby-Doo and the Foggy Mountain.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds like a horror martial arts movie. There's something in the fog, something in the Foggy Mountain.
Yeah, yeah. If the Foggy Mountain that Scooby-Doo and the gang has to face involved human trafficking. But that's like the loosest of plots. It is what the movie's about, but not really. Right?
It's a B plot of the movie.
Yeah. Okay, well, I said it before. The story's really simple. It starts off with our main character, played by Peter Pham. He wins a fight in an underground fight, and he gets on the bad side of
the
bad guy. Yeah. And because of that, his wife is killed, or forced to kill herself, I guess. And then he goes on a revenge spree, I guess, a revenge mission. But first he has to go back to his village where he was trained in all the martial arts. And when he's there, it just so happens that the villain is also there.
No, I'm pretty sure it's he goes to seek out the villain, and along the way, he runs into the villagers?
Oh, I thought he goes back to the village on purpose.
I don't know.
Either way, he's back in his village.
One of us is right.
Yeah, one of us is right. Turns out none of us is right. It's just like he just stumbles in this village. He's like, oh, I remember you.
Well, actually, some of the other villagers remember him because of some conveniently placed pictures on the wall.
Yeah. and then the next hour is maybe an hour and 10 minutes is him rescuing a bunch of people who have been kidnapped by the villain, and that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty really much it. It's the most straightforward of revenge movies that has a slight B plot of human trafficking, but no, that's resolved so quickly, so fast, and he doesn't even save them. Really, they kind of save themselves, which is kind of hilarious.
So our main character has no character. He is very non-emotive. He has one face throughout the whole film.
Oh, God, he really does.
When his wife dies, he has no expression on his face. And you're so supposed to believe that he's on this blood-stricken path, war-torn, blood. He wants to go out of his way, no matter what it takes, to get his revenge. But meanwhile, he has absolutely no expression. Like, throughout the whole film.
Yeah, unfortunately, our main character is just a vessel to move the story forward and put him into situations where, hey, I'm going to fight this guy, and I'm going to fight this guy. in the Vietnamese forest.
Yeah. I was thinking, this might have been a COVID film, was what I thought. I'm looking at right now. I can't see the exact release date. I see the year was 2020. So unless they went, they filmed this before COVID, and they released it well in advance, then it has nothing to do with the pandemic restrictions. But possibly they filmed it during COVID. It could make sense. Like, everyone's kind of isolated, and everyone's in the forest, like you said. It's a very simple story, very simple, very low budget. This movie is,
oh my god,
you cannot tell.
So low budget. Very, very low budget. I don't want to be hard on this because of the budget, but at the same time, there are so many questionable things that you don't do to make a story or a movie.
Yeah.
And you have two directors. Two directors, right. Three writers. Somebody should have been responsible for some of these messes.
Yeah, Phan An is one of the directors. This is his first and only directing role. So, yeah, that kind of shows. And then Ken Din is the other one. He's directed once before this. So, still seems like there's a bit of inexperience here. But my god, I think even with the story, which, yes, there's really not enough happening in the movie. But
three guys write this? I don't understand. There's just no characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, actually, there's too many characters.
That's too many characters,
but
yeah.
But they have no character to them.
There's too many, like, moving bodies on the screen that you have to remember their faces and names to.
Oh god, they have two little girls. Fucking two little girls.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And when any of them, any of them die, you're supposed to feel some way, but you really don't.
I mean, I felt bad when the one girl died because she was boobs. That was like her character, right?
That was her character, right?
Well, I mean, she kind of flashes cleavage to distract a guard at one point.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's like that's all it. I remember from her.
I remember her character, all two of them.
up to the
20, 30 minute mark, it seems like the movie's actually going somewhere, and then after that, it just kind of stops. Nothing happens until the very end, and it's just everyone dicking around in the forest, running away from the villains. And
that was the longest part of the movie where to elaborate a little bit, the main character hasn't even saved them. They kind of save themselves from human trafficking. All these characters, the main character just happens to be there. And they all start just fleeing in the woods, and it felt like no budget apocalypto almost where they're running away. Mm-hmm. You have people crossing the stream. It's supposed to feel dangerous because the girl breaks her ankle, I guess. Oh god, there's just I'm trying not to be hard on it, but the movie's just so blah.
Yeah, right? No, it's very blah. Glad we're choosing to talk about this one, though. Like, no joke. But besides the story, which, yes, it is very simple, all the characters are pretty flat. I'd say the only one who really stands out to me is the main villain, played by Kim Long-tak, who plays Ba Rao. Mm-hmm. He is like, just borderline, like, overacting throughout the whole film.
I wish she was overacting more because, no one is emoting. He's at least trying to be somewhat maniacal, somewhat unhinged, and he's doing the most in terms of acting in this movie. Yeah. And he's not even doing that much. He's, you know, he's just typical villain.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. In comparison, he looks like he's like, I wouldn't say Oscar winning, maybe like Emmy winning. yeah, and like you said, there's a lot of characters here. Like it'd be a waste of time if we go through every single one of them. What I will say though is that the idea is that yeah, they're supposed to be in the forest. They're supposed to be running through the foggy mountain because they're supposed to feel like they're constantly being hunted down by the villain and his henchmen. I never felt like there was really too much doom. It's weird that any time that the villains show up, like, they all split up. Like, why do they split up?
It feels like everybody splits up, yeah, when they're like chasing everybody in the woods. Even the group, the core group splits up.
It's that's so what I'm saying. The group splits up. Is like, why don't you stay close to the guy who knows how to fight? That and defend
true.
You.
That is true. It's a shame that they had to have these two little girls in there because they should have been fodder, really.
Mm. Yeah.
We only get one death out of this whole group of people escaping. We should have had more random people dying. So it felt a little stressful that they're being chased, right? Because otherwise, they just keep on capturing them and tying them up to a tree. Everybody gets tied to trees.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Don't fully understand it. Like, why don't they? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to kill them? Or are they trying to like imprison them again so they can put them back into the trafficking ring? I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, you know, like we're complaining about the budget, which you know you can do a lot. I mean, not a lot, but you can always turn around a low budget with a strong crew, right? Like a strong cast of talents behind the camera, right? I mean, that's a given. The writing here is not strong. So how's the action? I don't want to be hard on it too much because when I'm looking at the action, it's just below mediocre, just barely, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. if you were to tell me that this is a hidden gem from the 90s, I would say, wow, yeah.
Sure.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good for being from the 90s. It's a little messy, very rough around the edges, but there's a few decent moments. Mm-hmm. And I would say, good job, Vietnam, on this, you know, nice little, you know, kind of sleepy hit, I guess I could say, right?
Right.
But this is not from the 90s.
Well, because this is what? From 2020, it's very jarring, at least for me, that every fight scene, I keep looking at every shot and thinking, why are we missing frames? Why are we missing shots? Why are we, like, there's bits of action that I feel like have either not been filmed or they've been taken out of the fight scene and we need those. Have you noticed that as you're watching it?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's heavily edited and the continuity from the fight is missing portions so that you can make leaps from one moment to the other very quickly. So maybe in the fight choreography, they didn't get a shot that transitions one moment to another. So they just remove it. They edit these two moments together and it just looks fast. Moments look jarring. There's a lot of times where we break the 180 degree rule. Characters are kind of jumping around on screen. And I want to say, probably because of the limitation of the budget, the filmmakers probably got a, you know, like subpar cinematic camera. And you can see there's distortion on the lens sometimes if it shakes around too much. So I don't want to be too hard on that, but basic filmmaking techniques, right? You don't have to follow every hit. You don't have to follow every motion. That's something that's becoming evident with modern choreography, at least in the 2020s, you know, later 2010s. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here. You have a cameraman who's trying to follow every motion, every punch, every hit. So the screen gets wavy. There's a mm-hmm. lot of waving going on. It makes the fight feel alive, but sometimes there is not as much clarity as I would like.
Yeah, it's not the worst edited. It is edited just enough where you are, well, you can be distracted, especially if you're into the kind of action that we're into, which is just like, you know, just show as much as you possibly can, right? Don't disrupt it with editing. But yeah, like the editing, it really does feel like you're missing key information here sometimes, at least again from my watching or viewing of this movie, you know, between, you know, different camera shots, it feels like characters have just teleported just a couple inches or a couple feet over every single time. And when that happens in a rhythm and there's a certain cadence to it, it feels like there's a lot of key information that's like lost out of each action scene. And again, this is just slightly below mediocre, because somewhere in all this, there's some good action.
Yeah. Yeah. We have two very good performers in this movie. We mm-hmm. have the main actor, Peter Pham, mm-hmm. and then we have the mini-boss, Vong Akor, played by Simon Cook.
Yep, Simon Cook. He was he had one fight scene in Ip Man 3. He was the TIE fighter that Donnie Yen fights as they were going down this elevator, and then eventually in this
stairwell.
Yeah, if you remember that.
Yeah, great fight.
Yeah, yeah, that was a couple of, no. It was a while ago, so the character, the actor looks a little older now.
That's fine, that's fine. Yeah. Anything involving the two of them is the best. It's in the last fight easily being the best between them, because it's the longest and it has the more complicated moves. The mm-hmm. editing is still a little fast, but for the most part, there's clarity when it's the fights between them, because I'm guessing because they're just the most competent on-screen performers. When it comes to our main character fighting like multiple opponents,
God, it's the worst.
It's well, that's the problem. It's just so forgettable.
Yeah,
he never. Yeah. I think he never fights more than three people at a time. Mm-hmm, there's like three different fights where he fights three different groups of men. I couldn't tell you like the difference between them. I think the one that maybe stands out the most is when he fights on the shores of the river.
I guess. I don't even think that's worthy. Like none of the multi people fights are very worth mentioning.
I would say when the villain Vong Akor fights his first group fight, which is a weapons fight in the beginning of the movie, that was a good opening fight for him to show that he had the skill and he was just somebody to be, you know, not to be, you know, messed with. And then later on, it's kind of nice. He becomes, I mean, he's the mini boss, but he becomes the recurring villain because he kind of keeps popping up in the movie to fight people. He even fights the main character more than once, which is kind of cool. Like the main character can't exactly defeat him, so he pops up again. And it's all right. It's just okay. If this was an older film, I would be praising it a lot more, but
Well, I don't know. Even if it was older, I feel like it's still missing things that to make it, to elevate it beyond what it actually is. There's not enough that's all I can really say about the action too. Like, I mean, I would love to break it down, and I want to say that at least there is like a part of me thinks that there's a small bit of charm in the movie. I'm saying that because it almost seems like I can feel that the directors, they do appreciate film, but like they throw in some homages to other movies that
they love Flashpoint.
they love Flashpoint. They love Donnie Yen. They love Kill Bill. They throw in the whistling, if you remember that. They love, oh my god, and you mentioned Donnie Yen. So the main character, his style is Wing Chun, and
I was gonna say, is this felt very Wing Chun.
It's Wing Chun.
This is a Vietnamese movie. but then again, I don't know the Vietnamese martial arts fighting style, if any. All I know is Ronica No and Johnny Nguyen, so whatever they do.
Right. Well, Johnny Nguyen is more like a, you know, he's Taekwondo.
He's
a Taekwondo.
Yeah, he's an all around, you know, just versatile screen fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what I could say Veronica No's fighting style is, but it's not Wing Chun.
No, definitely not.
So when I was watching this, I was like, man, this is reminding me of young Ip Man, like the straightforward fast punches, all the trapping with the arm blocks and whatnot. So I was getting confused what I was watching. But if you're confirming then
I mean, I'm only confirming it because whenever he's doing hand-to-hand, like literal hand upper body hand-to-hand combat, it's clearly Wing Chun. But he'll throw in some kicks every once in a while, and it's like, okay, that's not Wing Chun. Because Wing Chun's very less kick-heavy, kick-oriented, or no high kicks, at least. And Simon Cook. So Simon Cook and Trong Din Hwang, who is one of the fighters that Peter Pham fights early in the film, these two guys were the fight choreographers for the movie. So I'm wondering if that has any influence on the actual stylings of all the characters. I feel like, Simon Cook, you know, the mini boss, he's definitely fights a little bit more like brawler-ish / like Thai boxing style, which is, you know, akin to like his style when he was in Ip Man 3, but less so. He's a little bit more... I mean, there is like a use of wire work in the movie too, so they we try and like throw in some stuff that like isn't physically possible without wires. But whatever. With all that said, the action again, without being a dead horse, it's just barely okay.
Did you catch the guy doing capoeira for like 1 second?
No, who was that? I don't remember that.
It's during the. I don't know, when they're trying to escape the sex trafficking village or huts. There's a guy who starts doing like the
Jenga?
The Jenga for like a second, and then he kind of does some kicks, and then, you know, the character Pi, the main character, just kind of kicks him, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got excited for a second, and he gets dispatched so easily.
Yeah, it's like, we don't have the insurance to pay for these stunt people, so... I guess like with that said, let's break down the action. I mean, God, I don't think we're going to be able to break down the story any more than we've already have. So,
yeah, we could try to go into it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. Well, with that said, this is the time where we'd say that you should go and follow us on Patreon so you can listen to the entire action breakdown that we always do. And well, again, there might be spoilers that we'll be mentioning at this point too. So if you want to, you can listen to us there. I think we're going to talk about this for like, oh God, I hope not another hour. I don't think there's not enough material in this fucking movie.
We could drag this out to an hour conversation, no problem. So if you want all that extra audio that we'll be discussing, yeah, check us out on Patreon, because you could also listen to an episode we recently released, which is Sworn to Justice with Cynthia Rothrock. I believe you said there's humping in that movie, so...
Oh, God.
I was slightly interested.
Oh man, that film. It's a movie about a psychic, revenge seeking Cynthia Rothrock, which is kind of ironic because the movie's really forgettable. So yeah, that's all I'll say. So if you want to listen to that, follow us on Patreon. But if that said, let's talk about Foggy Mountain. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. And now on to our final thoughts.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie. That's Foggy the movie. Mountain?
Yeah, I don't have the foggiest clue why it ends this way, but yes.
Oh that's my God, Will, mountain. Why did we watch this movie? Why did you pick this movie?
Hey, okay, right. The movie's not good, but
it's not.
I complain a lot about the action because it is definitely marred with really bad filmmaking decisions and definitely hampered by its budget.
Yes.
But there is a semblance of goodness in there that is missing in the final product. You know what I mean? It's like it's just barely mediocre. And
I think.
Yeah. Just barely.
If all the action just aped more of Donnie Yen's fight choreography, I would have been happy with that because there,
yeah.
We mentioned in the Patreon section, there is one fight, which is the last fight, that just really does lots of Donnie Yen-isms for the better, actually. It elevates the movie, and they do a great different interpretation of grappling on the ground, which is like the only thing I could really recommend from this movie because that's the highlight. So
yep, all 8 seconds of
So watch that. Watch the last fight. That's all I can really say.
Or just watch a Donnie Yen movie since we're talking about all the homages to Donnie Yen. Why don't you just go do that? I think that might be a better use of your time.
Do you think people should watch Sakura? Should they watch Sakura over this, Will? Huh?
Select Donnie Yen movies. Watch the good ones.
Why not Sakura? Why not? We talked about that.
Go watch In the Line of Duty 4. Like, it's been a few years since we talked about that, but you go watch that. All right.
Are you sure not Sakura?
Sakura? I heard Sakura. Okay. Well, Foggy Mountain is this is my attempt at diversifying our portfolio of movies because we've been doing a lot of lately we've been doing a lot of new releases. Thank goodness for new releases, and that's what Foggy Mountain is new release on Hiya. I wanted to cover this because it is newer, but also, like, you know, it's kind of getting out of the Hong Kong China sphere is kind of nice every once in a while
until so we realize other that countries. The fight choreography is very influenced by Hong Kong fight choreography. Yeah.
And not done well. So, yeah. I don't recommend this movie. I wish it was better. I really do. Like you said, watch the final fight maybe. It's not great. There's semblances of goodness in it. But overall, bleh, bleh. The whole movie is bleh.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame. Anything with Simon Cooke is decent, and then the final fight is good, but the movie as a whole is so bland, unfortunately. And I agree with you. I want us to diversify our martial arts movie experiences because mainly we cover Hong Kong Chinese stuff, and we don't cover too many Vietnamese movies. Anything with Veronica No or Johnny Nguyen, that's kind of it. And I feel like we covered all their movies. So if there's a new, if there's a new Vietnamese martial arts movie out there, I'm down for watching it. It's just a shame we can't recommend it.
Yeah. Have I recommended a single Vietnamese movie? Oh God.
Yeah, we have The Rebel.
Me.
Oh,
me.
You.
I'm the stick in the mud.
Oh, right,
so.
Right. Yeah, you are the stick in the mud.
Don't watch Foggy Mountain. That's how I'll end this review.